And they understood none of these things, and the saying was hidden from them. Neither did they get to know the things that were being said. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, as we all know, we begin this very important season of Lent this Wednesday. And I actually remembered a couple of kind of word plays on the word Lent. One of them I had, actually I may have read them both from the late Bishop Dolan's parish bulletin from St. Gertrude's in the Cincinnati area years ago. And he said, Lent can be thought of as a time that is lent to us. So this is the past tense of the verb lend. And so that's a good little wordplay or thought to reflect upon. God is lending to us this time for a very necessary spiritual renewal. Don't waste it. That is the idea there. Lent is lent to us. And it is a great grace, an enormous grace, actually. Another thing that could be mentioned about Lent, about the word, is it seems to relate to the word lengthen. And as we know, the days are lengthening. They're not as long as they will be, of course, in the summertime, but nevertheless, a lengthening idea there, more opportunity for this spiritual renewal. So we need to look at Lent in a right way. Of course, there's that normal human dismay at having to do penance, at having to increase our prayers, at having to increase our almsgiving. It goes against our nature. But we have to remember, we have to be motivated to do it. And our motivation is, of course, primarily from our Lord Himself. What was Advent and Christmas about but reflecting on the love of that divine infant in the manger? How charming, how captivating, how inspiring. So we are shifting now to not the baby in the manger, but the Lord in His passion and death. And He is suffering even more. As a matter of fact, He came to suffer. That was His very purpose, to come and suffer and lay down His life and to pay the penalty for our sins. Our Lord was telling the apostles in today's gospel, He will be delivered to the Gentiles. He will be mocked and scourged and spit upon. After they have scourged Him, they will put Him to death. These are prophecies being made to the apostles. And what was their reaction? And they understood none of these things. They had that reaction, you might say, that we read of St. Peter in the 16th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel. The very same chapter where he's told that one day he will be given the keys of the kingdom and be the first pope. And he said, Lord, far be it from thee. And Jesus rebuked him as though he was the devil. They were not understanding two things, at least. They were not understanding the evil of sin. And they were not understanding the love that He was going to show them in His sufferings. And whenever we see the sufferings of Christ portrayed, And of course, the most recognizable symbol of all, the crucifix. We have to think he did it for love of us. It was necessary for the full price of redemption to be paid. So that is our motivation, or should be our primary motivation. Let us be with the Lord in his sufferings. How can we sit back and have an easy, comfortable existence when we see him having gone through such agonizing suffering? We can also use as motivation the necessity that we all have. We want by nature the easy way out. That's our fallen human nature. And we have to rise above that feeling. We have to discipline ourselves. We have to mortify ourselves. We have to take upon ourselves penance. Because if we don't, then we will perish. Our Lord even said that unless you do penance, you will likewise perish. So doing penance, observing Lent with that extra prayer and almsgiving as well, it's so good for us. It helps us to make up for past sin and also strengthens us against future sin. And I think that's why we have that 40 days, that mystical number. Why 40? Is it just because God arbitrarily likes that number? No, I think it takes 40 days to really establish good behaviors, good habits, virtues, we call them. They become more part of us. What we do during Lent, we don't want to just abandon the spiritual growth. It's to help us keep growing. Obviously, it's not the same works of penance after Lent is over, but again, the increase in virtue, that we want to keep. We can also use other analogies for the disciplining aspect of Lent. You could use the sports analogy. What team would just start to play games and not have a spring training? Or go through all the rigor of training and lots of, you know, starting to change their diets and doing all kinds of things to get themselves into playing shape. They have to deny themselves for an earthly crown. We heard that two Sundays ago. But we have something far greater at stake, an eternal crown. Or planting. You can think of planting. What farmer would just go out on the field and start sowing seed? He has to go through the hard labor of clearing the land, of tilling it, cutting out brambles and thorns and other undesirable things. Without it, no harvest to speak of. You could also use the military analogy. What do soldiers have to go through before they can ever become a real soldier? They have to go through boot camp. They have to be changed at a very deep level. So this is what Lent is for us on an annual basis. It is truly a spiritual renewal. So let us look at it in a positive manner. And let us also realize that Lent is something we need to win the battle against sin for the future or throughout our lives. And we see today in the gospel where we see the apostles blinded, as it were, to our Lord's prophecy about how he was going to suffer for love of them and to atone for sin. We see a blind man being healed. And this is not by accident, because The apostles were spiritually blind at that time. When we hear, they understood none of these things. And our Lord cures a blind man. And we have to remember, this is what sin does to us. Sin blinds us. Sin puts up a veil more and more, becomes more and more opaque or dense between us and its evil. The more somebody does an action, the more it becomes part of them. We're creatures of habit. Whatever we do repeatedly becomes more and more of us. And this is the great danger of sin. And this is where people get into a terrible state where they become so blinded that when they hear of what they need to do, it almost doesn't matter. And they are in a most grave danger. If they, as you can see, how are they going to repent before they die when they've gotten into a state of being hardened, of being blinded? And this is the danger that we all face. This is why you've heard me preach about faithfulness in the little things. Because if we let those things slide and go, we start running into that danger of doing more and more sinning and getting used to it. And then we become more blinded. And it takes a lot more to pierce through that. This is why our Lord suffered. His sufferings try to pierce through the blindness that sin causes in people's lives. The works of charity also help pierce that spiritual blindness that is a danger. And no wonder we are given the epistle on charity today. It's obviously a very good step in the right direction. And hence St. Peter says, charity covers a multitude of sins. So on this last Sunday before Lent, let us pray to be delivered from any spiritual blindness that we are suffering from. And again, Lent is that time of great grace for us to see the things that matter more, that matter the most, more clearly. Going through Lent will definitely sharpen the acuity of our spiritual vision, one of the many blessings. Let us remember that penance moves the heart of God. He was going to destroy Nineveh for its sinfulness, but the people took the punishment upon themselves. They fasted, they repented, and Nineveh was spared. So, a time of great grace, a time of great blessing. Let us do so with that positive motivation in mind. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.